With Passover just a couple of weeks away, a couple of people have approached me and asked me if I could do a Passover teaching. And you know, my first thought was, the Seder really is the teaching. You know, as you go through the Haggadah, it teaches you the Passover ways, and the things of Passover. So I'm trying to think, how can I explain a Passover without just repeating everything that's in the Haggadah or in Scripture, you know, in where it says about the Passover? And Adonai showed me during the week as I was reading something that I don't think I've ever seen before. It was an explanation of what Passover is by saying what Passover isn't. You know, sometimes a good way of learning what something is by knowing what it isn't. So I was reading in Jeremiah, and the Ruach opened up for me chapter 44. It's really an example of the people passing under his judgment as opposed to Adonai passing over his people for atonement and salvation. So I want to go step by step through Jeremiah 44 to see what the opposite of Passover is, as a way to show what Passover really is and what we're celebrating and what we're remembering in just a couple of weeks. Now, I want you to keep in mind the role of both Adonai and the people, both in the times of Jeremiah that I'm going to be walking through and the time of Moses, which I'll be referring back to. You know, and for some who like to watch the movies, especially recent movies, a lot of these movies, they run two timelines at the same time, kind of parallel, so that you can kind of bounce them off each other. And that's what Jeremiah does in 44 and Passover. We get to see the truth as they run in parallel. So looking at the time just before the Passover in Exodus, before Moses returned to confront Pharaoh, the obvious is that they lived in Egypt physically, right? That's the obvious. But they were also in Egypt spiritually. They were bound up. They really were nowhere near where Adonai wanted his people to be in regards to their relationship with him. Before Moses, there was no prophets to tell them the correct way to act towards Adonai. They had some small remembrances of who Adonai was to their fathers and their fathers' fathers. But Adonai allowed them to walk in their own way. It really was a time of silence for 400 years while they were in Egypt. They heard nothing from Adonai until Moses returned from his time in Midian, where after 40 years, he interacted with Adonai at the burning bush. Israel really was a lost people, disconnected from Adonai, with no shepherd to lead them back to him. This is what the prophet Ezekiel says about the condition of the Israelites in Egypt. Ezekiel 20, verse 5 through 7, says this. Say to them, thus says Adonai Elohim, on the day I chose Israel, I lifted up my hand to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I lifted up my hand to them, saying, I am Adonai your God. On that day I lifted my hand to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I sought out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the splendor of all lands. I said to them, each of you must throw away every detestable thing from his eyes and not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am Adonai, your God. Adonai knew that the people were not even aware of how far they were from him. They defiled themselves without even knowing what they were doing with these idols and false gods. Because of this unawareness, Adonai was merciful towards them. His desire was to bring them out of that bondage, out of that slavery, out of Egypt. But it was different in the time of Jeremiah's prophecies, when he was giving prophetic words to the people of his time. Before the Exodus, we said they had forgotten Adonai's words because Adonai was silent towards them. But listen to where the people were during the time of Jeremiah. As we read the words of the prophet Jeremiah from 44, starting in verse 2. Thus says Adonai Tzvaot, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I brought on Jerusalem and on all of the cities of Judah. Behold, today they are in ruin and no one lives in them, because of their wickedness, which they committed to provoke me by continuing to burn sacrifices for and serve other gods, whom they had not known, not they, nor you, nor your fathers. Yet I sent you all my servants, the prophets, sending them early and often, saying, oh, do not do this loathsome thing that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to stop making offerings to other gods. Adonai sent prophets and other prophets, not just Jeremiah, to give warning to them, to get them to stop doing the things that Adonai hated. The contemporaries of Jeremiah included both Ezekiel and Daniel. The people had the prophets to tell them of their sins that they were committing against Adonai, unlike in Exodus, where they did not. They did not listen, and they did not stop their sins that Adonai hated. When they were slaves before the Passover in Egypt, Ezekiel tells us that they had idols. And we also know that because we're told that Moses instructed them to get rid of their idols at one time. They did not know better in Moses' time, but during the time in Jeremiah, they should have known. They had the prophets telling them that they were doing wrong with these false gods and idols that they were keeping. So far, we see that during both times, the Jewish people were deep into sin, into idolatry. But one knew it and the other didn't. Now we start to see how Adonai dealt differently with the two of them, with their sins of these two people. We should know, and we'll hear during the Seder, that Adonai felt compassion when he heard the Jewish people cry out to him as they were being crushed under the weight of the work of the Egyptians. But let's return to Jeremiah's words to the Jewish people and see what they were doing, and if they were even crying out to Adonai for salvation from the things that were happening around them. So we'll pick up in Jeremiah 44:11. Starting there. Therefore, thus says Adonai Tzvaot, the God of Israel, I will soon set my face against you for calamity, to cut off all Judah. I will take the remnant of Judah who set their face to enter the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they will be consumed. They will all be consumed, falling in the land of Egypt by the sword and by famine. They will die from the least to the greatest, by the sword and by famine, and they will be an execration, which means an object of curses. I had to look that up, sorry. They will be an execration and a horror, a curse, and a disgrace. So I will punish those dwelling in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by famine, and by plague. So none of the remnant of Judah entering the land of Egypt to sojourn there will escape or remain to return to the land of Judah. When they are longing their soul to return to live there, for none will return except as refugees. Israel, during Moses' Passover and Exodus time, sees God's hand as one of protection and provision. He brings them out of the land that is crushing them. But that's not the case of the people that Jeremiah is speaking to. They're provoked Adonai with sacrifices to false gods that have not turned to the one true God who created them. They went to Egypt, and they learned the ways, and they are set in them. Not only that, they had an answer for Jeremiah, for his words that they were speaking, that he was speaking to them. We'll pick it back up at verse 15, Jeremiah 44:15. Then all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, along with all the women that stood by, a large assembly, right? It's not a small number of people. With all the people dwelling in Pathros in the land of Egypt, responded to Jeremiah saying, "As for the word that you spoke to us in the name of Adonai, we are not going to listen to you. Instead, we will defiantly do every word as went out of our mouths, burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, just as we did, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem." They defiantly said that they will not do what they heard Jeremiah say. What they heard Jeremiah tell them that Adonai says. But instead, we'll trust the words that come out of their own mouth. They wanted to listen to their own words over Adonai's words. They wanted to listen to their own words. Their words said to keep doing the things that they've been doing. Keeps offering sacrifices to their false god, Ishtar. She was a false god of Babylon and Assyria, a deity of fidelity, love, and war. They had a prophet of Adonai right there in front of them. But they would not listen to him as he spoke the words of Adonai. Not only that, but they went on to say foolishly, picking it up right where we left off in the middle of 17, "For then we had plenty of food. We were well off and saw no calamity. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything. And we have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Moreover, when we were burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, then we made cakes for her in her image and poured out drink offerings for her. We were without our husbands?" They took the blessings from Adonai and gave credit to a false god, believing that they lost their husbands and the blessings because they stopped offering to the false god. They thought that they were removed from Jerusalem for not continuing to worship the false god. They were so dull, they could not tell the words of Adonai. They could not tell the works of Adonai from the non-works of an idol that had no power. Jeremiah came to the people in bondage of sin with the words of Adonai, and they refused to listen. But the people who were going to follow Moses out of Egypt, you know, they weren't all that much different at first. Let's remember what we're told in Exodus 6 about how they reacted to the prophetic words of Moses. Moses spoke this way to, this is Exodus 6, 9. Moses spoke this way to Bnei Israel, but they did not listen to him because of their broken spirit and cruel bondage. They had been beaten down. Their spirit was broken. It took a bit before they would listen and follow Moses out of the oppression of the Egyptians. But the people listening to Jeremiah, they never did make that turn. They never did start to follow. They not only did not make the turn to follow Adonai, they gave credit for what Adonai had given them to a false god out of their foolishness. If you're looking for a definition of blasphemism, this is it. Giving credit to a false god for what Adonai has done. Adonai did not stop sending Moses to the people or to Pharaoh, and he did not stop sending the prophets to Israel, which included Jeremiah. Jeremiah did not just walk away, but continued to talk to them over and over again. So let's go back to Jeremiah 20, where we left off. Jeremiah 44:20. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men and the women, to all the people that were giving him such an answer, saying, "The incense burning that you offered in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, your officials, and the people of the land, Adonai did remember them." They did remember them. They did come to his heart. "Then Adonai could no longer endure it because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations that you committed. So your land has become a wasteland, a desolation and a curse, without inhabitants, as it is this day. Because you have burned incense, because you have sinned against Adonai, and have not listened to the voice of Adonai, nor walked in his Torah." "Nor studied his statutes, nor his testimonies. That is why this calamity has befallen you, as it is this day." Jeremiah was telling them where their thinking was incorrect. They remembered the good that they had in Jerusalem when they were sacrificing to Ishtar, the false god. And they think that the troubles were because they stopped. But Jeremiah tells them the truth that they did not want to hear. The truth is, this cloth lodging doesn't want to get unwrapped. Well, I'll keep trying. They think that Adonai never did listen to them. But Jeremiah tells them that Adonai was always watching, always listening to them while they were sinning. What a really petrifying, terrifying thought. Adonai watches while they were sinning. And the truth is, he still does today. He showed mercy on holding off the correction for as long as he could, as long as he did. But they did not turn back to him. They refused to listen to his voice, to walk by the way of Torah, and did not change the evil that was in their heart. During the time of the Passover Exodus, the people did turn to Adonai. Yeah, they had their baggage still. And we don't read about it during the Passover because we're celebrating the goodness and mercies of Adonai. But the truth is, the people had more work to do to get the full blessing of Adonai. So we get a bit of a picture that Adonai is such a great and merciful God that we do not need to be that perfect person to see his hand start to move for us. But we do need to take that step when he starts to move. Then Jeremiah continues with his words to the people of his time. And really, as we always say, scriptures for us today as well. Starting again in Jeremiah 44, this time we're up to 24 now. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people, to all the women, hear the word of Adonai, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus says Adonai Tzvaot, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled it with your hands, saying, we will defiantly perform our vows that we have vowed, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her. You surely will continue your vows and surely will perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of Adonai, all Judah dwelling in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, declares Adonai, never more will my name be invoked in the mouth of anyone of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, as the Lord Almighty lives. Here I am, watching over them for evil and not for good. All the people of Judah who are in the land of Egypt will be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Wow. Jeremiah says, you have shown your hard attitude towards Adonai. And you've already said and did what your words were towards the false God. You already did it with your hands. You did it with your heart. You did it with your mouth. Then we get the words that makes the great difference of hearts and minds of the people and of Adonai, causing a great big difference between the Passover, Exodus, in this passage here, which could have been a Passover. It could have been an Exodus from slavery to sin. But it turns out to be a time that they were passed over for their blessings that Adonai really did want to give them. He sent Jeremiah so that they would come out of their Egypt. Not even physically out of Egypt, as the Exodus story was, but spiritually to gain the blessing of Adonai wherever they are in the physical lands of the world. And by understanding this, it helps us to understand our Passover celebration. Jeremiah tells them, and really the world today, as I've said over and over, that for those who will not open their minds, hearts, or spirit to him, who refuses to change or allow him to change them, who will not allow anyone or anything to lead them out of their Egypt, then he will not just not bless them, but he will be over them for evil, he says. Wow. How, I mean, you really want Adonai to be the one who is evil to you? So then how is it possible that anyone who sins against Adonai will be able to turn back to him? Either for the first time, that if they've never understood Adonai and even Messiah Yeshua, or to return to him from as their first love because they've backslidden, wandered away. And I believe the answer is in that final verse there. It says that all the people of Judah who are in the land of Egypt will be consumed. Egypt is the type of sin, right? Therefore, those who are in their sin and are not even wanting to get out will be consumed by Adonai. It takes a repentant heart, meaning wanting to get out of their own Egypt. Just as the people of Moses wanted to get out of their Egypt. The people of Jeremiah had to want to get out of their Egypt, but they didn't want to. The people today, us, we need to want to get out of our Egypt. We need to want to get out of our sins. Baruch Hashem, he's made a way. But we still have to have the want first. It means that Adonai will take a look into your heart's attitude to see if you're a people that Jeremiah was speaking to, or are you a people that Moses was speaking to? Going to the Seder to celebrate the release of the slaves of Egypt will do nothing for you if you are like the people that Jeremiah was speaking to. If you have a heart that says that we are better off with the world's systems and gods, if you're not going to listen to the words of Adonai and his prophets, then attending the Seder is not going to do anything of worth for you. But if you are a part of the people that Moses led out of Egypt, whose hearts were aware of the goodness and mercies of Adonai, then the Seder will have a great effect on you. It has to lift up your heart to hear the goodness of Adonai towards his people who want to live with him. We here have to be one of those who are willing to take the steps out of our personal Egypt and into the promised land that Adonai wants us to be in. We see two different times a prophet has been sent to the people to deliver Adonai's word to them and to deliver them from their Egypt. Jeremiah did not have the same effect on the people as Moses did because they did not want to be released. And they did not want to release the world from their hands and their hearts. Moses had great effect because they were willing to step out with him. Knowing the difference is knowing what the Passover celebration is all about. We need to be a people who are willing to our Egypt behind, to step out of our Egypt, to step out of our sins. And this is what the celebration of Passover is about. Remembering what he did then and remembering what he's doing now if we join along with him. Father, we thank you for your word that explains to us the Passover. We thank you that your heart is to be with your people. Your heart is not only to be with the people, but to release them from their sins, to cleanse them by the blood of Messiah Yeshua. But we have to be willing to step out of our sin and step into the place of the blood, the place that you'll cleanse us, the place where we can become one with you. Ruach, open our hearts and our minds. For those who do not yet know you, open their hearts and minds so that they'll want to step out of their Egypt and into a land of milk and honey, a land with you. Now, let me just make this perfectly clear. That land of milk and honey, not here. It'll make it easier for us here. But that land of milk and honey is the time to come. It's when we get to heaven. When he separates the wheats and the tare. So, Father, we thank you for giving us the way to get to you. Way to leave our Egypt. The way to live with you in our life. We just praise you and thank you for your word. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.